This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. Starting us off tonight, the Internal Revenue Service has hired a private contractor to scoop up personal biometric data on millions of Americans. The IRS has partnered with a Virginia-based private tech firm that specializes in ID verification using biometrics to do so, including facial recognition selfies, fingerprints, and many other things. This data is then used to create or access online accounts with the state agencies and, more recently, the IRS. The IRS has announced that by the summer of 2022, the only way to log into irs.gov will be through ID.me, so reports Zero Hedge. Founded by former Army Rangers in 2010, the McLean-based ID.me has evolved to providing online ID verification services, which several states are using to help reduce unemployment and pandemic assistance fraud. The service requires applicants to supply a great deal more information than typically requested for online verification schemes, such as scans of their driver's license or government-issued ID, or copies of utility or insurance bills. When an applicant doesn't have one or more of the above, or if something about their application triggers potential fraud flags, ID.me may require a recorded live video chat with the person applying for benefits. This is, again, according to analysis by Krebs on Security. Apparently, to prove you haven't committed fraud in the states that employ this company's services, you have to agree to turn over your most sensitive biometric data. Now, you will have to do the same in order to review your tax returns at the IRS website. ID.me already operates in 27 states, mostly in the processing of unemployment benefits. Nikki Hinton, a resident of Florida, told Worldview Report that she ran up against the firm's invasive technology last year when she was collecting unemployment after being laid off in the wake of the pandemic. She didn't feel comfortable turning over private information to a third-party private contractor. Hinton believes the data could also be used at some point to cut off benefits to people who refuse the jab. Quote, because I didn't comply with their requests for my personal data, my money stopped. I saw the scam a mile away, and that's why I reported it to you, end quote, Hinton told Worldview Report. Quote, it is all a great big con job set up to see who is injected and complying so they can cut off income. Plus, they just want to see every penny you have in your bank account. Again, ID.me doesn't just require photo ID or, in the IRS case, a selfie. It requires you agreeing to let them collect data on you, she says. According to Krebs on Security, quote, if your documents get accepted, ID.me will then prompt you to take a live selfie with your mobile device or webcam. That took several attempts. When my computer's camera produced an acceptable result, ID.me said it was comparing the output to the image on my driver's license scans. Once that's accepted, ID.me will ask to verify your phone number and will not accept numbers tied to voice over IP services such as Skype or Google Voice, end quote. Next up, Bill Gates, well, he wants to punish poor people with a global carbon tax that he says would drive demand for, quote, clean products, end quote, many of which he's invested in. Gates made the proposal at the World Economic Forum conference in Davos, Switzerland this past week. Gates' eyes light up when he talks about all the money there is to be made by supplying the products he wants governments to force middle-class people to buy, by punishing them with carbon taxes if they don't buy into the plan. Take a look.
And how are we really going to make it from a fossil-based fuel society into a renewable society? Where do you see the new real breakthroughs? And how are we going to make sure that we set the price on the externalities? How do we internalize the externalities that we are currently seeing in the global energy mix?
Well, the rich countries have to play a central role, both funding R&D and having policies, in some cases carbon taxes will be used to drive the demand for these clean products. And only by doing that in an aggressive way will the economic costs be brought down enough that we can turn to all the middle-income countries and say, okay, you know, change your whole cement industry, change your whole steel industry, and yet, you know, it's not holding you back from, you know, your economic growth. The number of companies working on these things is very exciting. And some of them will fail, a lot of them will fail. But, you know, we only need a reasonable number, a few dozen of them, to make it through. And that's what we have to accelerate.
Registration of immunizations in Illinois would change from voluntary to mandatory under a bill by Representative Bob Morgan, a Democrat from Highwood. It was introduced last week. Critics of HB 4244 include more than 10,000 citizens who have filed opposition slips describing the measure as, quote, asinine, end quote, and, quote, unconstitutional, end quote. Many say they are, quote, disgusted, end quote, that lawmakers are even considering the action. The House Committee on Health and Human Services plan to take it up on Wednesday, January 19th. Quote, healthcare providers, physicians designees, or pharmacists designees shall, rather than may, provide immunization data to be entered into the immunization data registry, end quote. The bill synopsis says, quote, the written information and the immunization data exemption forms must include information that the healthcare provider shall, rather than may, report immunization data to the Department of Public Health to be entered into the immunization data registry, effective January 1st, 2023, end quote. State Representative Charlie Meyer, who's a Republican from Illinois, serves on the Health and Human Services Committee. Well, he said his office has been flooded with calls and emails opposing the bill. Meyer called the proposal unconstitutional and un-American. Quote, this is not what you do in a free society, he said. Quote, the state of Illinois should not be forcing healthcare providers, physicians designees, or pharmacies to report private individual health records to the government, end quote. Hear, hear. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new product, My Slippers. What makes my slippers different from those other slippers is my exclusive four-layer design. The first layer is MyPillow's patented foam, which will help prevent fatigue and offer you incredible support. My second layer is a memory foam that will give you amazing comfort. And layer three is my patented impact gel that'll help reduce stress on your feet. And layer four is a durable outdoor-indoor sole so you can wear my slippers anywhere, anytime.
Go online or call right now to order your very own pair of the new My Slippers. Use the promo code on your screen and save an incredible 40% off your My Slippers order. You can enjoy My Slippers anytime, anywhere.
What I love most about My Slippers is that I can wear them all day long and not have to change shoes.
I personally guarantee the first time you put them on, they'll be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own.
The Federal Reserve Board on Thursday of this last week released a discussion paper that examines the pros and cons of a potential U.S. central bank digital currency, or CBDC. The Fed invites comment from the public in the first step of discussion of whether and how a new digital currency could improve the, quote, safe and effective domestic payments system, end quote. The Fed does not reveal its hand in this paper on whether or not it favors any policy to create a digital currency based on blockchain technology. Quote, we look forward to engaging with the public, elected representatives, and a broad range of stakeholders as we examine the positives and negatives of a central bank digital currency in the United States, end quote. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said the paper summarizes the current state of the domestic payment system and discusses the different types of digital payment methods and assets that have emerged in recent years, including stable coins and other cryptocurrencies. It concludes by examining the potential benefits and risks of a central bank digital currency and identifies specific policy considerations. The central banks of more than 65 nations throughout the world have been experimenting with digital currencies that will at some point replace cash. China, Sweden, and India are among the nations with the most advanced pilot programs for cashless systems that involve digital-only money. In other news, FBI agents were seen Wednesday of this last week at the home and campaign office of Congressman Henry Cooler, a Democrat from Texas, who, by the way, just happens to be a frequent critic of President Joe Biden. Photographs shared by local reporters showed agents at the residence in Laredo, Texas. They were removing bags, bins, and at least one computer, according to the Epoch Times. Federal agents also went to this congressman's campaign office. In a statement to news outlets, the FBI said the Bureau, quote, was present in Laredo conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity, end quote, adding that, quote, the FBI cannot provide further comment on an ongoing investigation, end quote. The congressman's spokesperson told the media, quote, Congressman Cooler will fully cooperate in any investigation. He is committed to ensuring that justice and the law are upheld, end quote. Cooler, 66, has represented the 28th Congressional District of Texas since 2005. The district includes land that touches the U.S.-Mexico border. And this congressman, a Democrat and considered a moderate, has been a frequent critic of Biden's lax immigration enforcement policies, which experts say have contributed to the explosion in illegal immigration that's been recorded since Biden took office a year ago. Some have reported 3 million illegals have poured over the border since the Biden regime came into power. Under the Democrat, the most illegal immigrant apprehensions at the Southwest border were recorded for both a fiscal year and a calendar year. Biden, shortly after being sworn in, halted construction of Trump's border wall, curbed use of pandemic-era expulsion powers, and directed officials to end the, quote, Remain in Mexico, end quote, program, which had forced many asylum seekers to wait in Mexico for their claims to be heard. In other news, the former White House physician Ronnie Jackson reacted to Joe Biden displaying more brain freeze during his second press conference in office Wednesday. Well, he's demanding that the president immediately undergo a cognitive test. Jackson is the GOP congressman representing Texas' 3rd District, and he's also the former White House physician and a retired Navy Rear Admiral. Watch this video.
Well, that could school reopenings or closures become a potent midterm issue for Republicans to win back the suburbs?
Oh, I think it could be, but I hope in God that they're, that, look, maybe I'm kidding myself, but as time goes on, the voter who is just trying to figure out, as I said, how to take care of their family, put 3 squares on the table, stay safe, be able to pay their mortgage or their rent, et cetera, is becoming much more informed on the motives of some of the political players and some of the and the political parties. And I think that they are not going to be as susceptible to believing some of the outlandish things that have been said and continue to be said. You know, every president, not necessarily in the first 12 months, but every president the first couple of years, most every president, excuse me, of the last presidents, at least four of them, have had polling numbers that are 44% favorable. So it's this idea that, but you all, not you all, but now it is, well, Biden's it. One poll showed him at 33%. The average is 44, 45%. One poll him at 49%. I mean, the idea that the American public are trying to sift their way through what's real and what's fake. And I don't think as I've never seen a time when the political coverage, the choice of what political.
That display prompted Jackson, the former physician for both Presidents Obama and Trump, to take to social media. Summit News reports that Jackson has repeatedly called for Biden to undergo an exam following regular concerning displays. The doctor recently asserted that the reason Biden has avoided cognitive exams is because he would have, quote, failed miserably, end quote, and his team, quote, didn't do it because they know if they do, you don't ask questions that you don't want the answers to, end quote. Listen to Jackson describe the elephant in the room regarding Biden's mental decline.
Congressman, so you've done these reports before. You've done these exams before. When you looked at this report by Dr. O'Connor, were you surprised that anything was missing?
There was a lot missing, Rob. Honestly, there were six pages of stuff that most people don't care about. I mean, you know, Dr. O'Connor spent six pages addressing like an occasional cough and some stiffness and things like that. When the elephant in the room was the president's cognitive ability. Over 50% of this country does not believe he's cognitively fit to be our commander-in-chief and our head of state, yet that wasn't addressed anywhere in there. We set the precedent when we did President Trump's physical. I did. The far left and the mainstream media were relentless in their pursuit of me to do something to address not only his physical capabilities, but his mental capabilities, right, which we did. We did a cognitive test. As far as I'm concerned, we set the precedent. And he should have had one done as well. I mean, if anyone needs a cognitive test, it's this president that we have right now. And I was really surprised to see there wasn't any mention of anything like that in there.
And I should say, you know, you treated President Obama as well. You were the White House doctor for a few years under
Bush
President
as well.
Obama and President Bush. Would a 79-year-old patient, Joe Biden, 79 years old, would something like a cognitive exam, would that typically be included in a routine annual physical?
Yeah, there's a big push right now from the geriatric community and from the family practice and primary care community to include a cognitive test in anyone as part of their routine physical exam over the age of 65. Certainly, if you have an indication to do so. And I think that we have a huge indication with President Biden. We've seen for years now that he's had these gaffes, but something's changed over the last few years.
Yeah.
These aren't gaffes anymore. He's confused and he doesn't know where he's at or what he's doing. So I would say beyond just a normal indication, There are indications related specifically to his behavior that would have dictated something like that should have been done.
Okay, so back to the original point. Do you think that maybe Dr. O'Connor deliberately kept stuff like that out of his six-page summary? Would that be common practice maybe for national security purposes?
No, I don't think they did it. They didn't do it because they know if they do it, you don't ask questions or you don't want the answers to. And essentially, I mean, that's his approach right now, is not to ask questions that he doesn't want the answers to.
Right.
They know that if they gave him a cognitive test that he would have failed miserably, and then they would have had to explain that away somehow.
Canadian truckers opposed to federal COVID-19 vaccine mandates are preparing to converge on Ottawa in a protest expected to draw a convoy of at least 1,600 rigs. At least that's according to organizers who spoke with the National Telegraph. Tamara Lick, working with trucker Chris Barber from Swift Current, Saskatchewan, started a fundraising campaign on social media that raised several hundred thousand dollars, within days of its GoFundMe page being launched. Quote, "We have a massive team behind us now. We are going to roll across Canada. They are going to go to Parliament Hill and sit there and protest, peacefully, of course, until these mandates are lifted," end quote, said Lick, an oil and gas worker from Medicine Hat, Alberta. The mandates, which went into effect January 15th, require unvaccinated Canadian truckers to quarantine and take a COVID-19 test when they re-enter Canada from the U.S. The new rules also require U.S. truckers to present proof of vaccination in order to cross the border. Many of them continue to decline the shots rather than gain access to Canadian destinations. This has cut U.S. trucking capacity in half, according to the American Trucking Associations, which estimates that approximately 50% of U.S. truckers have not accepted the COVID injections. An estimated 10% of Canadian truckers have declined the COVID jabs so far. Lick says the truckers mounting the challenges are from Vancouver to the Maritimes and include vaccinated and unvaccinated drivers. She stated that, quote, "A lot of these drivers do cross the border on a regular basis. My parents run a business, and they cross the border all the time. As of Saturday, January 15th, they can't do that. This is going to seriously impact our supply chain, groceries, goods, necessities, but it's also impacting their livelihoods," end quote. Biden's vaccine mandates on truck drivers entering the U.S. from Canada takes effect January 22nd. Tennessee State House Representative Bruce Griffey is proposing Kyle's Law in honor of Kyle Rittenhouse that would require the state to reimburse people charged with murder and found not guilty if it was proven they acted in self-defense. Griffey said in a statement, quote, "My legislation, just as Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal, underscores the importance not only of our right to self-defense, but also the protections afforded by the Second Amendment of our Constitution. As a longtime Second Amendment advocate, this is not the first time I have sought to strengthen protection to gun owners who exercise their self-defense right. In 2019, I filed and pushed for passage of my Stand Your Ground bill," end quote. Not only is Griffey pushing for passage of Kyle's Law in Tennessee, but he's also presenting Kyle Rittenhouse with a proclamation honoring him as, quote, "a hero who selflessly defended his community, protected businesses, and acted lawfully in the face of lawlessness," end quote, and, quote, "a symbol of things that the left is trying to destroy, our Constitution and our Second Amendment gun rights," end quote, who, quote, "provides a light of hope that we can fight back against the enemies of our Constitution and win," end quote. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but also millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all your support. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products now, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We are offering the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regularly $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive offers. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back. Church Militant's Rome correspondent, whose last name is Gomez, is investigating an international web of deceit involving communist China, Pope Francis, Pfizer, and Klaus Schwab's Economic Forum. It entails China secretly funneling to the Vatican billions of dollars in exchange for Pope Francis, pushing of the COVID jab. All is part of the Great Reset. According to the Rome correspondence reporting, the Vatican has received $1.6 billion in bribes every year from China since 2014. And additional details continue coming to light. The dots Gomez is beginning to connect corroborates journalist Edward Pinton's recent report about two meetings in 2021 between Pope Francis and Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, the substance of which remains secret. As Church Militant reports, it may also explain the Vatican's aggressive pushing of the COVID injections onto Catholics worldwide. Quote, from the bishops to the parishes, from the parishes to the people, accompanied by the blasphemous propaganda that Jesus would take the jab, end quote. The Vatican's corrupt relationship with the World Economic Forum and Big Pharma affirms the warnings of the whistleblower Archbishop Vigano, who made an appeal to the worldwide Catholic clergy just months ago not to fall in line with the Vatican's wicked directives on vaccines. Vigano urged them to alert their flocks to the physical dangers of the so-called vaccines, as well as to the plot to impose a global reset through the controls associated with a mandatory jab. The Archbishop wrote, quote, I realize that it may be extremely unpopular to take a position against the so-called vaccines. But as shepherds of the flock of the Lord, we have the duty to denounce the horrible crime that is being carried out, whose goal is to create billions of chronically ill people and to exterminate millions and millions of people based on the infernal ideology of the Great Reset, formulated by the president of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and endorsed by institutions and organizations around the world. He went on to say, quote, the silence of so many cardinals and bishops, along with the inconceivable promotion of the vaccination campaign by the Holy See, represents a form of unprecedented complicity that cannot continue any longer. It is necessary to denounce this scandal, this crime against humanity, this satanic action against God, end quote. In tonight's commentary, we address the disturbing evolution of the FBI into something it was never meant to be. As we brought you earlier in this broadcast, the news, the story about a Democratic congressman who has voiced considerable criticism of the Biden regime's open borders policy. Well, he had his house and office raided last week by the FBI. We've reported previously on FBI raids at the homes of Tina Peters and Sharona Bishop in Colorado for no other reason than that they have actively been involved in the effort to expose election fraud in their state. In some cases, also fighting the mask mandates and critical race theory. And then you add in Project Veritas and their leader, James O'Keefe, whose property was raided by the FBI when the Bureau found out he had a copy of Joe Biden's daughter's diary, which some say reveals sordid details about her father. And when the FBI has been presented with evidence of unlawful activity by Biden's son, Hunter Biden, found on his laptop, well, the FBI sat on the evidence and did nothing. Perhaps the most outlandish example of providing cover for the Biden administration is the FBI's treatment of the January 6th protest at the U.S. Capitol, treating it as a, quote, violent insurrection, end quote, when in fact nobody came armed to the Capitol that day other than a few Antifa-type thugs, while suspected FBI infiltrators are seen on video inciting the crowd to enter the Capitol. Are you starting to notice a pattern here, folks? And these aren't the only examples of how the new politicized FBI operates. To give an exhaustive list would take far more time than we have allotted here. As Biden's public approval ratings sink to below 40%, lower than almost any president in U.S. history, it may not matter how unpopular he is if he can claim the protection and allegiance of a national police force tasked with taking down his opponents and protecting his allies. That's how a banana republic operates. But this is happening in America. Let's not forget that the core of the deep state that harassed and tormented the previous president, Donald Trump, consisted of the FBI and the CIA. No nation can survive its political institutions being overshadowed by its intelligence agencies. Our founding fathers knew that, and that's why they broke the federal government into three branches. But if all three branches are afraid of the intelligence community, it's game over. Our republic is dead. If the Republicans take both House and Senate in the fall, it's imperative that they perform some serious house cleaning at the FBI. And if the agency can't be reformed, then some say it should be disbanded. I, however, say we should reform it. Because if you go look up some of the goals of the communist, it has been for years, what? To abolish the FBI. Let's not give the communists what they want, abolishing the FBI. I think we might be better off to reform it. Clean it from top to bottom. And then use that very same FBI to do what it once did. Go after the communists, arrest them, prosecute them, put them on trial, and if necessary, capital punishment. You know, the FBI used to do that, along with our Justice Department. Well, on that note, we say good night from the Worldview Report. Keep the faith, and may God save America. Take care.